Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to spend our program today talking with you about the art and science of listening to bird songs. Don Kruitsma, our guest, he'll be with us by phone, professor emeritus at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and a visiting fellow at the Cornell Labs of Ornithology. And he's studied bird songs for over 30 years, and it's a real pleasure to have him along. And I'll tell you some more about him as the program moves along here and as we visit with him. But Jim Packer joining us. And Jim, we've got a little challenge grant for this hour.
We do have a challenge grant, Larry, and it's a pleasure to be here to get the pledge drive kicked off. We have a goal of $3,500 for the program today. And the challenge comes from Skupnawit's Painting and Wallpapering in Madison. And they've said if you meet that $3,500 goal, I'll kick in another $500.
So cool.
This is something that we really appreciate to start this drive. And there are no premiums in this drive. The only thing I can say is that if you would pledge at the $120 level, we'll be happy to send you a Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card, which entitles you to dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, performances and attraction benefits like two-for-one admission at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more. And that's available with a $120 pledge at 800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772. Well, you know, the real benefit, I think, comes from the programming that we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a lot of fun putting these programs together. Jim Packard and I talking with, the Scott Craven, as we did yesterday, and with the folks like Don Kruitsma, who the last time he was on, it was just a great show. You're going to enjoy listening to him. And if you enjoy this kind of programming, it helps us a lot if you can support us with your contribution. It's expensive. Radio's not inexpensive, let's put it that way. It's kind of expensive, and we can't do it without your help. So if you've been thinking about it, now's the time to do it. We have an overall goal of $275,000 for this drive, and we've taken in $44,571, Jim, and we have about $230,000 to go. And you know what? Once we get to that goal, we're not going to keep going. We're going to stop right there. And so you can help us stop the pledging faster with a contribution at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Skupnawit's Paint and Wallpaper of Madison, it's great of them to contribute $500. Means a lot to us. And I guess it means a lot to them. They've supported Wisconsin Public Radio and believe in it and want to encourage you to call in with your contribution. 1-800-383-9772.
If you are a longtime listener to Larry's show, you know these voices. Bill Volkert and Noel Cutright are with us on many holidays as we talk about birding and ornithology. Jeb Barzin in Purdesac and Baraboo talks about eagles and cranes, and Randy Jurowitz of the DNR comes along to talk about eagles as well. So we focus on ornithology as a program that many listeners can unite around and appreciate and love the mysteries of flight and all of the things that go along in the birding world. So if this is something that appeals to you, if you enjoy this, then help us support the program with a donation at 800-383-9772. If it's $120 or $10 a month, we'll send along the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card.
And again, our goal for the hour is the 90 minutes is $3,500. We've already, we've raised maybe $700 already toward that goal. So that's
excellent.
Good. That's a good start. And frankly, I'd love to reach that goal sooner rather than later, and then we can forget about it and not worry so much about it. Every call is important. Call by call is how we meet our goals. So if you've been thinking about calling, if you've never contributed before to Wisconsin Public Radio, perhaps want to become a new contributor, now is a great time to do it. And put in a vote for this program at the same time. 1-800-383-9772.
Larry, when I look around the building, I see construction on one end of the building across Park Street. I see construction on the other side of the building looking towards the east. And When you look at that building every day, you realize how much brick by brick by brick is going into the construction of that building. And if you miss a couple of days, you come back and you see a little bit more. Well, that's how this fund drive goes. We encourage you to pledge, and each one of these calls is a building block that successfully, together, will be able to meet that goal and be able to get on to regular programming. But right now, we need your call. We need you to decide how much you're going to pledge. Any amount is welcome, and we won't share any of that information. Some companies will match your contribution at 800-383-9772.
And don't forget, $120 contribution, we'll send you that member benefit card. We're going to spend some time talking. Jim, check out on how things are going in Pledge Central. And in the meantime, we're going to visit with Don Kruedsma. Don, Professor Emeritus at the University of Massachusetts, Amherst. And he has studied bird songs, as I mentioned, for a long, long time. He's really considered the reigning authority on the biology of avian vocal behavior. His best-selling book and CD, The Singing Life of Birds, has now been published in paperback by Houghton Mifflin Books. The book itself was selected for the John Burroughs Medal Award in 2006. So it's a real pleasure to get Don back to the show. I really enjoyed talking with him. And certainly if you have some questions for him as we talk about birds and their songs, you're most welcome to join in. The number to call for that is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Don Kruedsma with us by phone. Don, hi.
Hello, Larry.
Good to hear your voice again.
Wow, good to hear a voice, friendly voice from Wisconsin again, too.
I tell you what, I was saying before the show this morning outside and yesterday outside, listening to the wide range of bird songs just outside the door of my house. It's so uplifting at this time of the year.
It's an extraordinary time of year, isn't it? I heard my first wood thrush last night, and it sends chills up and down the spine.
Well, there, the wood thrush really is one of, well, maybe in your opinion, the best singer we have.
Certainly one of the finest. There are about 10,000 finest singers, I think. It's hard to single one out.
Yeah, you know what? I guess I agree with you. I was walking back from the radio station yesterday, and I heard a robin, and I looked up, and the robin was up around the nest and singing like crazy. And I guess, you know, when spring comes, I feel like singing a little bit too. And birds seem to – do they sing more in the spring than other times of the year, or is that just me?
Oh, no, it's the birds. Their bodies actually pretty much shut down for most of them during the winter, the whole song system and all the hormones collapse to almost zero, and then when the days start to get longer, why the whole body fires up again, and it just bursts on the scene with, well, like the robin. It's a state bird of Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great bird, and one of the most common birds.
When did you first develop this passion for listening to birds?
Oh, I got hooked, I guess it was 39 years ago. I was at the University of Michigan Field Station, just across the big lake from you there, and I was told I had to go work off a fellowship and go record some birds, and the fellow, Sewell Pettingo, was director of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. He said, here, go record some birds for me. And wow, once you start listening in detail as you record, it's pretty slippery from there. You get hooked.
Well, and yeah, you surely do. And in your book, talk a little bit about your book, The Singing Life of Birds. You've put together a real wonderful book here on how birds sing and why birds sing. And I think you're teaching us, as I think I read on the book jacket from someone else, not just to identify birds, but to identify with them.
Yeah, as a scientist, I've been studying songs for years and years and years, and all the kinds of things that we scientists do get published in these esoteric journals that maybe a handful of people read, but there's so much good, juicy stuff there that I wanted to make all this information somehow available to the average person who would not want to read the dry stuff that we publish as scientists. And so the idea was to develop a series of stories. And one of my reviewers got it pretty right. He said it's a stealth textbook because everything I know about the biology of birdsong is in there, but it's in storybook form. And another reviewer said it's a cross between a mystery novel and poetry. So yeah. I hope that readers just get sucked into thinking about birds and birdsong in a whole new way. And as you say, identifying with them, not just saying, oh, there's a robin, let's go find something interesting, but, oh, there's a robin, let's listen.
Yeah. How does an individual bird get its songs, acquire its songs?
Well, a couple of different ways. We humans like to think in terms of black and white, so there's two ways that we typically think of, like a robin and all these other songbirds. They learn their songs just like we learn to speak. In fact, in the book, I have a comparison between my babbling daughter and a babbling wren. So these birds, they learn their songs, they imitate them from adults, and as a result, they have dialects just like we have in our speech. And then there's this other group of birds, like, oh, the eastern phoebe has made it to Wisconsin. It's been there a good month already, I bet.
Yeah.
They sing this typical phoebe, phoebe. And those songs are encoded right in the DNA. So these really two very different ways that an individual gets its song. One imitated like us, and the other innate or inborn right there in the genes.
And some are great singers, and others are not.
By our pathetic ears, as we judge them, I should say. There's one bird called a Henslow sparrow. It's a fairly rare bird, but you can search and find them around Wisconsin, I'm quite sure. And I think Roger Torrey Peterson, bless his soul, he said, you know, it's the most pathetic example of a bird song that he knew, or something like that. But then you slow that song down four or five times, and then I'm convinced we start to hear that song much like the bird is hearing it, because their ears are that much better. And wow, it's a beautiful sliding glissando of whistles that just escapes our ears. So yeah, some are pretty to our ears, but I have a hunch that we aren't hearing what all we could.
So their ears are the ears of a bird are pretty good.
Oh, they've got to be, and it's hard for a scientist to demonstrate that. I have a friend who works in the laboratory, and he plays these bird sounds and tries to get them to peck little keys when they hear something. And it's but for me, you know, the best evidence is, you know, take in northern Wisconsin, you've got a bird called the winter wren.
Mm-hmm.
Has a wonderfully complex song, but as we listen, we hear pretty much a blur of tiny little whistles, and especially in the West, the song is even faster. And to me, the best evidence that these birds have extraordinary hearing is that these songs that sound like a blur to us, they have to hear the individual little notes because they learn those entire little complex sequences from each other. So they have to hear it. And it's like we have to slow these songs down maybe 10 times, and then I'm convinced that's the way the birds hear them.
Oh. Don Kreutzma, our guest today, author of The Singing Life of Birds. It's now out in paperback, the book and the CD, published in paperback by Houghton Mifflin Books. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we're well on our way toward our goal. We've raised $940 during our pledge drive, just to mention that briefly to you, because we're going to get right back to Don Kreutzma. $3,500 the goal for the 90 minutes, and we're at $940. You can join in and contribute at 1-800-383-9772. Give us a call. Help us reach that goal of $275,000 overall, but for this 90 minutes, it's $3,500. So I hope you'll call in with a contribution and help us out. And tell you what, we've got some callers on. Well, we had some callers online. We lost our caller there. If you'd like to join in, the number to call, if you have a question for Don Kreutzma, please feel free at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, Reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. Don, and do the songs of an individual species of bird vary from one part of the world to another? We've got birds that are located in several parts of the world. Is there an English accent in the English sparrow versus the ones we have here, for example?
Yeah, Larry, that's one of the things that I think those of us the fanatics who study birdsong find most interesting. It's how the songs change from place to place, or not. So for a lot of these birds, I bicycled over the Blue Ridge Mountains and through Virginia and Kentucky recently, and it's just a delight listening to the local pockets of human speech. Just extraordinary. And with birds, it's the very same way. If we had the ears of birds, listening to common birds like cardinals, for example, or tufted titmice, we'd hear how the songs change over a mile's distance. And there's some places in California where you can stand on the dialect boundary of white-crowned sparrows and hear all the birds in one direction, a whole sea of them singing one kind of song, and in the other direction another kind of song. So these learned dialects are just fascinating to listen to and study.
I agree, and I'd love to play some songs from your CD as well, and I might even let you pick one or two just for fun's sake while we before we take some calls. Again, that number to take a question for Don Krugsman. By the way, someone called in and said, "How does Don spell his last name?" And it's Krooddsma. And in your search engine put the Singing Life of Birds, I bet you the first hit you're going to get is Donald Krugsma, Krooddsma.
And shame on me, my Dutch ancestors would say it should be Krootsma, of course.
But you do pronounce it Krugsma, right?
Yes, I've slaughtered it, anglicized it.
Okay. Well, do you have some favorites on your CD?
Oh, I've got a whole bunch of favorites. I think we ought to listen to something as simple as a black-capped chickadee.
Okay.
It's the one, it's track 41.
All right.
And just, it's such a familiar song in the spring, and I'm convinced they start singing on December 22. They know when the days are getting longer. And they're with us year-round, of course.
All right, let's listen.
But listen to the pitch of the song.
Okay.
So there's several songs all on one pitch, and then here as he shifts to another pitch.
Oh.
Hear that there? The telephone connection, the acoustics of the telephone are such that I could hear the low sounds. There were a couple of low ones, and the rest were higher, and those escaped the acoustics of the telephone. And these chickadees, just the most common birds, have some of the greatest mysteries, because these birds have this simple song. They sing it from coast to coast. And what they do then is they'll sing on one pitch for a while, and then they'll shift down. And after a while, they'll shift back up and then back down. And just jump all over the scale just with this simple song. And why they do it, of course, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you wonder about that, why they would shift their tone. You must have speculated on that.
Oh, yeah, you know, we guess at these things, and I'm convinced that 99% of what these males are singing, and in the north temperate zone here, it's mostly the males who are singing. In the tropics, it's quite different. There you have females and males singing equally complex songs. But up here in the temperate zone, I'm convinced that 99% of why males sing is trying to impress females. So she must be the one who's listening, and so she's actually, we can think of her as the silent composer of this whole avian orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
She picks the males that she's going to mate with, who are going to be the father of her offspring, and it's those singing characteristics of that father that are then passed on to the next generation. So it's something in what this male, these male chickadees are doing that the females somehow insist on, and so the males are shifting their pitch.
Oh, cool. I tell you what, we have callers online. Let's go to Ed in Burlington. And Ed, your turn. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, hi. One thing I wanted to say was that the chickadee is my favorite bird, by the way.
Ah.
But I go out birding all the time, and the red-winged blackbird has a real nice call to it. And I don't know, I stepped in here late on the program. I don't know if you already mentioned that one.
No, we haven't, but Don, talk about the red-winged blackbird a little bit.
I don't know of any bird better where you could sit at the edge of a marsh and hear so much going on. The males have 3, 4, 5 different songs, and if you concentrate on one male for a while, you'll hear him sing one song over and over and over, and then he'll shift to another one, just a striking shift to another one. And all the time that he's singing, the females are down in the marsh, and they're making noises, too. And the female on the territory of a given male, she's often calling back and forth to the male as he sings, a harsh series of, calls. And, do we have an hour? I could go on about red-winged blackbird today.
Yeah, me too. I like listening to him. Sure. Also, the one that I don't know if you mentioned, that is the robin. And one thing that I found out that was kind of fascinating about that is that Michigan and Wisconsin both have the same state bird, and which is a robin. And I never knew that up until about 5 years ago. But and Connecticut has it too. But they're also nice to listen to.
Yeah, and I would make a pitch for raising the Wisconsin flag and playing the state song, which has to be the robin song. There's, in fact, in my book, I make a pitch for listening to the robin carefully, and I explain how to listen to the details of what the robin is doing, because I'm convinced the robin has so much to teach us about how to listen. You listen for little nuances, the pauses, and then, you know, when you think you've heard it all, you go out well before sunrise and you hear that second little fluty flourish that he adds after a series of these nice low caroled phrases, and they're so expressive. Yeah, our state bird in Massachusetts is the black-capped chickadee, so...
You got the one I wanted.
It'd be a toss-up. I think the robin's a great one.
Well, I tell you what, we've got the robin, I believe, is on track 12 of your CD. Should we play that?
Yeah, track 12. Here are the nice low caroled notes. Sound of spring.
Oh, you got that.
I got one in my yard right now doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It was funny. Could listen to this one, listen to one out there. Anyways, this year and last year, too, the robins never left Wisconsin. They stayed around. So I know we were walking out in the woods in the wintertime, and there were just lots of them out in the woods. Well, you didn't see them in anybody's yards, but they were all gathered together out in the woods.
You bring up an interesting point, Ed. Until a few years ago, robins were unheard of in the winter in Massachusetts, too. But just last winter, I was following a winter roost where we estimated about 30,000 robins staying over winter.
Wow.
And I think it's a combination of two things. One is they're farming. They eat these wild berries and plant them, and the berries expand and expand in food supply, and which makes it possible for more and more robins to survive the winter.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Bong Recreational Area, Richard Bong, out here in Racine County in Wisconsin, there had to have been thousands of them out in the woods in the wintertime. It was just unbelievable.
Great birds.
They're wonderful birds. Thanks, Ed.
Yep, you're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. And you can join in as well at 1-800-642-1234. Got a favorite bird you want to talk about? 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We're talking, of course, about the birds that sing, but there are some, are there not, that don't sing at all, Don?
Yeah, very puzzling. You know, there are the 10,000 or so species of birds in the world. We break them up into various taxonomic groups, related birds. And there's this one big group, almost half of all birds, they're called songbirds. But even among those songbirds, there are some that we don't think of as having a song. There are, like all the blue jays, all the jays and the crows and the ravens, they do some things very softly that you might construe as song, but there's nothing sung from the treetops, like a robin or a cardinal or a chickadee. And the cedar waxwings, too, they just have a couple of simple notes and nothing that we think of as a song. They're a bit mysterious.
And you wonder why.
Yeah, you do. And you think of song as being used largely by males to impress females. Well, then you ask functionally, I guess, well, how do males impress females in these other species that don't have a song? And it sounds like a bit of a sexist answer, question, that the females have to be impressed by the males. But I want to say, as with humans, but you didn't hear me say that. The female is the choosier sex. The male male, the one that has the capability of being the father of so many offspring, but the female lays just a limited number of eggs. So she's the one who has to be choosy in picking a partner, far more choosy than the male.
Julie in Onalaska, we'll give you a chance. Good morning, Julie.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a bird feeder out in my backyard that I just put up about a week ago, and I've got bird seed in it, but it doesn't seem to be attracting any birds. Am I doing something wrong? Does it matter where I place it?
So you've got a bird feeder in your backyard, did you say?
Yes.
Well, Don, what do you think?
Well, my best guess is that it's such a glorious time of year. Insects are becoming increasingly available, and most of those birds that we would have had at our feeders all winter long eating seeds are not so interested in seeds anymore. They're more interested in insects, chickadees, for example. They're largely insect eaters during the spring and the summer, and they rely on our seeds only when the going gets tough, when insects are far less available. So my guess is that's the most likely answer, that, yeah, feeder would be fantastic in the winter months, but come spring, the birds aren't that interested.
Maybe not. I still have a lot coming to my feeder, and I just set out my oriole feeder, which consists of a couple of spots to put orange halves, and then in the middle there's a spot for sort of a glass full of grape jelly, and that is a great attractant for the Baltimore oriole. And you might try setting something like that out for the oriole. And I love the song of the Baltimore oriole as well.
Oh, me too. That's beautiful.
Are they back?
Yes.
Oh, you've heard them. I haven't heard them here yet in Massachusetts.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
So grape jelly, you said?
Grape jelly. It seems to be the only jelly that, I don't know, Don, has that been your experience, or have you, or don't you feed them grape jelly?
I have not gone to the orioles to feed them. I go out and listen to them, but don't often feed them. So your advice is king here.
Well, I tell you what, our family goes through jars and jars, and you can get the cheapest grape jelly that you can find in the grocery store. But I've experimented, and they don't seem to like strawberry jam or any of the others. The grape jelly seems to be the ticket for Baltimore Orioles. You can buy pretty inexpensively a little setup, a Baltimore Orioles feeder, that allows you to put the oranges on, and then a little holder with a little glass cup for putting the grape jelly in. And it works great.
Will it attract other birds too?
Yeah, a few, but not a lot. The orioles really seem to enjoy it.
I primarily see robins and chickadees and cardinals.
Well, You should be, your feeder should be, leave that feeder go for a little while. I'll bet you're going to get some even this spring and summer.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes a little while for them to find it.
Yeah, once they find it. Well, the other thing is there may be a predator nearby at the moment, which would keep them away as well. And, Don, I don't know if you've had any experience like that, but if a hawk happens to come into the neighborhood or come onto your near your property, the birds tend to go away.
Oh, it's fun to it's the bird feeder in a couple of different senses, of course. You have a hawk sees it as a feeder for itself, and cats, of course, love feeders too. So.
Yeah, they do. Thanks, Julie. Andy in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Andy.
Hi, good morning. For a lot of years, I have always listened for the first song of the cardinal, which here I've always heard in, say, mid-February. This year I heard it in late January, which was the earliest I've ever heard the cardinal begin to sing. But I'm just wondering, what is it that, and when you're still in deep winter, will cause the bird to begin to sing? Is it the angle of the sun, or you know what causes the birds to start to sing?
No.
Yeah, I think Andy, it's mostly day length, and you can show this with birds in the laboratory by changing the day length artificially, and they just respond to that day length.
Mm-hmm.
Some birds respond earlier than others, like a lot of birds start singing in January, early January. The cardinal seems to hold off just a little for whatever reason, and doesn't start, as you say, usually in your area to mid-February. This year you heard one late January. That may be just the variation from year to year.
Uh-huh.
Could be that birds are starting to sing a little earlier, too, if this globe, most of us are convinced this globe is warming up, and the birds really sense that, too, that the breeding records are earlier for many species, and as a result, the singing records would be, too.
Yeah. Well, I'd always thought, my thought was that it was the length of the sun, or length of the day, but in January, the day hasn't really lengthened all that much.
Yeah.
And yet they begin to sing anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of these birds know that December 22 is really the first day of spring. we call it on our calendar the first day of winter, but I'm convinced they know.
I always like to think that it's the first sign of spring, whether it's still deep in snow or not. So
yeah.
I actually tested that last year. I said to myself, I know these birds start singing on December 21 and I started walking daily before the 21st. And I could not believe there was this enormous burst of singing on the winter solstice. It might never happen again quite that way, but I'm convinced these birds know.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Thanks. Right. Thanks,
Thank
Andy.
You.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Bob and Woodruff, it's your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. This is a little off the songbird track. I'm a licensed falconer, and I think everybody's heard of a peregrine falcon. And their practical extinction 30 or 40 years ago because of pesticides and particularly DDT, and everybody's aware that now they've made a pretty good comeback. But I don't know if the public was aware that falconers probably had more to do with it than anything. Cornell University pioneered the program of breeding chambers, and in the past 30 years, falconers have raised in captivity literally thousands of peregrine falcons and turned them back loose into the wild with a procedure of letting them go and hunt and come back home until they had learned to hunt well enough that they never came home again. And I just wanted to pass that along to the public. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Don, a comment?
Yeah, that's good, Bob. You know, some people who obsess about birds and are desperate to have them as falcons, for example, sometimes they get a bad press by stealing the last egg of something in somewhere. But it's great to point out that falconers, there are enormous numbers of good falconers who have contributed enormously to bringing this peregrine back. So three cheers.
And on to Glenn in Madison. Glenn, hello to you.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, I'm a longtime bird watcher, and growing up in Madison here, I remember the cardinal was one of the first birds whose song I memorized. And the call that I memorized, I still remember the pattern that was very common for several years in a row, but I've not heard that call in probably 15 years. The calls today are slightly different. You know, it's the same tone, same series of notes, but I've noticed lately more trills from the cardinal around here. They've got a new call that sounds quite a bit like a tufted titmouse. And I was wondering if there were any studies about whether or not bird calls change over time. It seems to me that if the birds that are going to learn the call must, or it seems inevitable that it would change as they learn it from one generation to the next.
Interesting question. Don?
Yeah, Glenn, that's fascinating. You must have good ears. A lot of people, I think, would not have recognized that. Yeah, normally these birds learn all these songs. So a cardinal has maybe 10 different songs in its repertoire. So it learns all 10 of them. And once he's learned those 10, that's it for life. But, you know, every year the cardinals choose which songs they're going to learn, and some songs are favored and some are lost from the population. So over time, over years, you're talking 10 or 20 years here, this is what we call in the lingo of the scientists cultural evolution. These are oral traditions passed on from one generation to the next, and some stories are lost. Some songs are lost, and new ones are incorporated into the population. So, yeah, you've well done. You've heard what these birds are up to.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it. And Chris in Wilton, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi. One quick question. Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who is that? The barred owl? You knew that was the barred owl.
Yes, I'm just joking. my real question is, I've been out birding a fair bit, and I noticed that a lot of the birds have very similar songs, especially in the warblers. It's like they're mimicking each other. What would be the benefit of them doing that?
Oh, fascinating. So, Chris, I guess I would ask you, do you think the warblers, do you think it's your hearing or theirs? I think if you really get to know these songs of these warblers, I think there is lots of potential for confusion, but I don't think they are ever confused. Those of us who have recorded warblers in a whole slew of species, and I've been reading about them for the past week here, just as a sideline here, I just love warblers. The songs are really distinct. They know that, but most of us don't spend enough time with these warblers to learn what they know. So, yes, as a result, a lot of them we hear is high-pitched and difficult to grasp and indistinct. But to the birds themselves, they are
pretty much know.
They know. They are dissimilar.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Appreciate it very much. Don Kruidsma is our guest today, Professor Emeritus at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, visiting fellow at the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, and the author of The Singing Life of Birds. The book and CD are published in paperback now by Houghton Mifflin Books. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great fun today talking with Don Kruidsma about his book, The Singing Life of Birds, and getting your questions answered and listening to the CD of some of the wonderful songs that that Don has in the CD that comes with the book. And I guess it's a pretty good example. Jim Packer joining us here for a few minutes. Jim, pretty good example of the kind of programming that we try to provide every day between 11 and 12:30 here on the Ideas Network.
And if you enjoy that kind of program, then give us a call of financial support at 800-383-9772. We mentioned some of the familiar names in ornithology that are with us pretty much all year round. Bill Volkert, Noel Cutright, Jeb Bars, and Randy Jurowitz. Very familiar in talking about birds of all kinds, and especially cranes. cranes and eagles. And today we're blessed with the sounds of those birds. And we'd love to hear your voice sing as well. You do that when you call us at 800-383-9772 and pledge $120, $10 a month. We'll be glad to send the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card, which entitles you to a special consideration for buying two-for-one entrees at 259 dining benefits in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and you have access to over 10,000 benefits nationwide. So you can find out more about that with your phone call, two-for-one benefits throughout the state at 800-383-9772. And Larry, how are we doing on our goal for the program today?
Well, we've raised $1,215, and we have a goal of $3,500 for the whole program. And if we meet that goal, we have a challenge grant from Skupnowitz Paint and Wallpaper of Madison. They're going to pitch in $500 if we make that $3,500 goal by 12:30, and it'd be a real shame to miss out on an extra $500.
We need to scoop up that challenge.
Yeah, Skupnowitz wants us to scoop up the money here, and you can help us out. And I hope you'll help us out because you enjoy the programs. You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's WPR is listener supported, so we hope you'll call in now at 1-800-383-9772. I'd really like, you know, if we can make $2,500 by the top of the hour, that'd be, then we'd only have $1,000 to go by for the last half hour. That would be wonderful. We're at $1,215 right now. Marilyn and Jim in Wausau called in with a contribution. Public radio is part of our lives. We'd be lost without it, especially programs about nature and animals, like the program that we have today with Don Kruidsma. Amy in Exonia called in with a pledge. It helps. She learns a lot about a variety of issues and helps her to talk to her business clients about some of those issues. So that's kind of nice, too. But let's get the phones ringing. We do that with your call. One call at a time at 1-800-383-9772. The pledge drive is going to end Wednesday or earlier if we reach the goal before Wednesday. And we're really hoping we can reach our overall goal before Wednesday. The sooner we get our contributions in, the sooner we're going to be going away from asking you for the money. $275,000 is our overall goal. And once we reach it, we will be done. And we get there by your call at 1-800-383-9772.
And you may say, well, how did you decide on this goal of $275,000? And that's the difference between being in the black and being in the red as the fiscal year ends. So this is a drive to catch up and make sure that we enter the next fiscal year in the black. We want to make sure that we do that for your benefit as well, because we don't want to have to come to you and say, we've got an emergency here. The books didn't balance. Help us out. No, we want to do some planning and some careful thought, and so that's what it's been determined. And as soon as we meet the goal, the drive will end. It's 800-383-9772. Wisconsin Public Radio is just about in its, celebrating its 90th year when you think about it, starting in 1917.
We've been here a lot of it.
90. Larry, you've been here, I know, for a good portion of that. I guess I have been, too. Together, we probably have been around for...
This is my 40th anniversary.
This is my 26th.
So that's 68 years.
That's right.
So that's a long time.
It is a long time. What it means that we're seasoned. We're veterans.
Yeah, we've
seen drives come and go. And we know that this drive will be successful when we reach the goal. We know that we'll reach the goal when you make your call. So if you listen to the program and you enjoy the program, you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and Larry Mueller, then why not help pay for the program, because listeners are our most single important source of income. 800-383-9772.
And we're at $1,215 raised so far. And I should mention, too, for the you could join me in the 9XM Leadership Circle with a contribution at the $500 level. That provides a foundation of financial stability to Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been in that 9XM Leadership Circle for quite a few years now. And I started small and worked my way up. And maybe if you've never contributed before, you don't have to think about the 9XM Leadership Circle, the $500. It'd be great if you could. But if you can't and want to start with $120, that would be wonderful too, or less. We've had contributions that sort of varied quite a bit here this morning during the the program, and believe me, any amount is more than welcome. It's just that for $1,200 for $125, we'll send you the member benefit card, as Jim was talking about. It is a way for you to get 2-for-1 dining at restaurants throughout Wisconsin. I've used mine. I actually have covered the cost of my member benefit card through the many restaurants. My wife loves to go out and eat. So does my daughter. One daughter, Emily, loves to go out and eat. And my other daughters do, too. But I don't see them as much as I see Emily. I see her every day. But
you make good use of the card.
I make very good use of the card. We've used it. I couldn't even tell you how many times we've used it in the last year. Probably 15 times. A lot of times. And 2-for-1 dining saved me a lot of money. Here's the number for you to call to get that member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Have you renewed yet? That's another thing, Jim. I was asking for people who haven't contributed before, but maybe it's renewal time for some people.
Renewal time for a lot of people would occur right about now. And maybe you're just I suppose many people are. You made your contribution. You indicated, we're going to go ahead and renew. Well, what about think about adding something to that? If you're pledging $10 a month, why not make it $15 a month or $20 a month? Then you can get close to being in the 9XM Leadership Circle with Larry, get the secret handshake and everything that goes along with that. New members, though, are really important to Wisconsin Public Radio. The more people who support us, the more stable our financial situation is, the better that we're able to withstand ups and downs in the economy. So that if you've never contributed before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable service that you're depending on, that you're coming to listen to on a regular basis, and that you're calling us or you're pledging online at WPR.org.
WPR.org online, or as Jim said, 1-800-383-9772. It's quick. It's easy. It takes just a couple of minutes to do it. And we hope that you will help us out with this task today. We're at $1,215 now, so we're about halfway to reaching our goal for the hour of $2,500. We could still do that in the 5 minutes before the top of the hour. What would that take, Jim? Now we're up to $1,800. So only another $685, if my math is correct, would get us to the $2,500. And then we'd only have $1,000 to go to get that challenge grant from Scoop Duets of Paint and Wallpaper in Madison, who are pitching in $500 if we make it. And I really want to make it.
800-383-9772 is the number. A friendly volunteer will take your phone call, ask you a couple of questions about who you are and where you are and your phone number, what you're listening to, and what you'd like to pledge. And that's that point where you have to determine how much your pledge is. Any amount is welcome. We won't share any of your information about what you do with us and who you are. And some companies, of course, will match your contribution, so you want to check with human resources on that. But why not pledge $120, $10 a month, get the member benefit card. You can get dining benefits at 259 restaurants. You can go to 49 performances and attractions with 2-for-1 entree, and 18 stores and online shopping sites, and you use the card to save money there. So it's a benefit to you. With your pledge, you can recover the amount of your pledge quite easily during this next year. 800-383-9772. Help us get to this goal.
We're using this, of course, to balance our books, you know, and I feel a little bit like I did when I was in college, and I'd go to my books would get a little out of whack, and I'd have to go to my dad and say, Dad, I need to balance my books a little bit here. I'm a little in the red.
And he'd look a little out of whack.
He'd look a little out of whack. You know what? He'd always he'd say, oh, okay, and he'd come through for me. And so I sort of feel like that today as I talk with our listeners. We're coming to you to balance our books, to put ourselves in great shape for the 2007-2008 year. We kind of run is how we run, and we want to be in good financial shape going into our new year. And the only way we do that, and the only way we can do that, is with your help. And we're at $1,965. We only have $535 to go. to reach our $2,500 goal for the hour, which would put us in great shape for that second half, the last half hour.
Five calls at $120 would put us over for the hour. Five calls. You can be one of them right now. 800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772.
Or
WPR.org or 1-800-383-9772. It's quick, easy. It only takes a couple of minutes. Don Kruidsma's going to be with us after a look at the news, and we'll have a chance to answer more of your questions. I'm losing my voice, Jim.
I'll carry on, Larry.
Well, carry on without me.
Let's go to the news.
Yeah, we'll go to the news here in just a minute. But we've got, we're over 2,000, we have $415 to go to reach our goal of $2,500 for the hour. We can do it.
We can do it. You can make your phone call right now. You make yours. Your neighbor makes his or hers, and we're right there. 800-383-9772. You listen and enjoy the program. You support the service, so call with a donation today.
We won't sell your name. You just call. When you call in, we get your name, we get your address, we get the amount, and how you want to pay it. Do you want to write a check? Do you want to do it on monthly installments? Any of those ways work. You want to put it on your credit card? That's fine, too. A lot of people do that, and then they take the air miles
when they pay it off.
But we'll be back with Don Kruidsma right after a look at the news. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the art and science of listening to bird songs today with Don Kruidsma. Don is the author of The Singing Life of Birds. So happy to have him with us by phone today and glad you're listening in. And I know that Shirley and Prentice has been waiting quite a while. So let's go to Shirley in Prentice and see what's on her mind. Hi, Shirley.
Hello, Larry. I heard the loveliest song yesterday, and I think it was a song sparrow, or it could have been a white-throated sparrow. And if you could play one of those, I'd love to hear it. And one of them sings from the top of a tree, like a spruce tree. Throws its little head back and sings, and I've got those two mixed up.
Okay.
Well, Shirley, let me ask you, are they nice, beautiful, pure whistles? If so, that would be the white-throated sparrow.
I think that's what, it didn't sound just like that. I think it could have been the white-throated.
Well, they're both worth listening to, Larry. Should we cue up track four and play the white-throated sparrow?
Let's do that. Hold on a second here. Oops. Hit the microphone here. Let's try it.
Beautiful song of the North Woods.
Beautiful song.
And then the song sparrow.
Oops. So we got into the wrong one there. And the song sparrow is
track 17.
17, okay.
And these birds, their songs are wonderfully complex, and whoever named the bird named it appropriately. It's the song sparrow.
Did you say 17?
17 yeah. Should be. What do you think, Shirley? You think it's one of those two?
That was quite faint. Was it a very short song, or did I just not hear all of it?
How was that for you?
That was a little louder. But yeah, that could be it. It seemed to be rather...
You're listening over the telephone like I am. If you're listening to your radio, it probably sound a lot better, but you'd get
feedback.
Oh,
maybe
probably.
I should turn my radio... Well,
you'll have problems, I think, technical problems, if you listen to both at the same time.
Yeah, there's a little delay in your listening on the radio, so you're better off to try to listen by the phone. And did either one of those sound...
Yeah, it really wasn't the best, so... I may have to figure it out some other way. The song I heard was rather long, I thought, and different notes and trills. So I thought, oh, that's just, I could hear it all day, listen to it all day long.
Well, Shirley, your best bet may be to find a local birder who knows the birds and tag along with that person as you listen.
That's a good idea. That's my daughter.
How long was the song, may I ask?
I beg your pardon?
Was the song 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds long?
I would say yes.
Oh. Hmm. Might be a different bird then.
At top of a spruce, is this northern Wisconsin?
Yes, uh-huh, just south of Phillips.
Wow, I wonder whether that's a winter wren.
Wow, my goodness.
It's a small brownish bird that has just the most incredible song. It's about 8 seconds long. And it's this tiny little whistles all broken up and smattered through this 8 second long song.
Okay, well, I'll figure out how to identify it.
All right.
One of the nice times of the year, this is one of the nice times of the year in some ways because so many of our trees haven't leafed out yet. And so, you know, if you hear one in a tree, you have an easier chance or a better chance, I guess I should say, of seeing the bird as well.
Yeah, it's tough learning these songs. I admit that. I've been doing this for almost 40 years, so it's all pretty second nature. But to start out, it's a real challenge.
Well, again, thanks for calling. I want to get Joshua on from Oshkosh. Joshua, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great.
I have a comment and two questions. One was a comment for the lady who was trying to attract her birds to the feeder. It's if she has a large, expansive lawn, birds don't like to be kind of out in the middle in the open without cover, especially if you got sparrowhawks.
Yeah.
We have quite a few of those around here, and I've seen them. They're very acrobatic and can really pick those birds right out of the air. And my question is, I was sitting out on the deck the other day, and I heard a cardinal, which is my favorite bird. And after his little deer, 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 he had like a little purr. And I was wondering if your guest could comment on if he's ever heard that. It's like a purr.
Yeah, you know, Joshua, I have heard that, and it sounds like a little chatter of a red squirrel.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And where this cardinal gets it from, I've read a lot about cardinals. I've written about them. I've recorded them. I've recorded that little chirr. But what it means exactly, I don't know. But it's certainly a fascinating sound. It's so different from, you know, the rest of his song.
Yeah, and I've never, ever heard that before. And I like to listen to birds, but I've never heard that. I wonder maybe if his mate was around. Could be it. Because we got two pairs around here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my other question was, why do crows hate owls so much compared to, like, say, raptors, where they'll just one or two of them will bug, but when there was an owl here, actually yesterday, it was just a ruckus. I mean, I think there's a whole murder of crows, and I actually went outside because I was wondering what all the racket was about, and it was a great horned owl out in a tree. But like compared to like say just a regular hawk or something, maybe one or two of them crows will go after it.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
I don't know of any more exciting, hair-raising sound than a whole pack of crows after an owl.
You bet.
These long, low caws, so different from the, you know, the somewhat dainty caws. Joshua, I think it's quite simple that owls like to eat crow babies.
Ah,
and the crows know that.
I see.
I think they're just mortal enemies, and these crows just get their hackles up, don't they?
Yeah, they
sure do. Thanks, Joshua. Thanks a lot for calling. Lou and Kempster, it's your turn next here. Hold on a second here. I get that right. Now I've got it. Lou, hello.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Great. Thanks for calling.
It's a wonderful program. I'm very, very impressed. I have a question and a comment for your guest, Professor Dunn. I was out turkey hunting this morning in the woods down by Fremont, and we got out there right at daybreak, a little bit before. And the full moon was going down. Yesterday was the full moon. And all of a sudden, there was just a preponderance of activity, a flurry of activity with the birds. I have never, in all my 60 years, have ever heard anything like this for at least an hour. Cardinals, and I believe you call them pileated woodpeckers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if there's any relationship between the moon phase and the increased activity of birds. Have you recorded any increased activity during the various phases of the moon, Professor?
Oh, birds love light, of course. And so, Lou, you're talking about daybreak, though. This is happening right at dawn.
I believe it was from about 5:30 through about 7 o'clock, hour and a half.
Yeah. So there, I do know, for example, some birds will sing all night long, and they do so especially under a full moon. I followed a whippoorwill around a couple of years ago all night long just because I wanted to know if he really did jar the night all night long. And yeah, there were over 20,000 songs he sang all night long, and
wow.
It was the full moon largely that I attribute that to.
Uh-huh, and that's the same thing this morning.
Yeah, but as far as a burst of singing at dawn when the sun would be more influential than the moon, I don't know of any studies that have shown that the birds sing more at dawn when there's a full moon. It's more of a nighttime effect, I think.
Hmm. I see.
No?
Well, the moon set was right about at dawn this morning.
Yeah.
And I know I happen to be a fishing guide, and I know that, of course, we relate fishing activity to the full moon phase, and I just wondered if that affected birds also.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is possible, but it's not something I know.
Thanks,
Lou. Something I've heard of.
Thanks, Lou. Let's go to Will in Milwaukee next. Hi, Will.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Great.
I'm calling. I live in the city of Milwaukee, right downtown, but I live in an area that abuts the Milwaukee River, so I can just sit at my kitchen window and watch untold numbers of birds. I've been doing it for 20 years, and have chronicled somewhere in the hundreds of species. Anyway, we were just watching the first movements of the warbler migration come in. I think Larry said before, this is a great time to watch it because the leaves are off.
Yeah.
But in terms of singing, we are also waiting for the indigo buntings to kick up. They're another beautiful-sounding bird. And we had a little rufous-sided towhee out there chirping around the other day. I'm just fascinated. I'm fascinated by the show, and the whole idea. Even though I've been watching birds for a long time, I haven't really concentrated on picking them up by ear.
Yeah.
Except for the last couple of years, so it's been. I'm gonna grab your book and check out some of this stuff.
You've got to get a copy of Don's book. It's the perfect book for you, a perfect book for a lot of people, but certainly the perfect book for you, Will. I hope you get a copy. It's a wonderful read as well as a wonderful listen. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, and the other comment, comment I have was a discussion on the winter wrens.
Yeah.
I actually was out at Wyalusing State Park one time. I was actually looking for one and found one and sat for quite a while listening to the little guy go on and on and on. They are a fascinating sounding bird.
Yep, they sure are. Thanks.
Will, I like your style. I like especially someone who finds a singing bird and says, I'm going to sit here and listen until the bird stops. Too many of us are rushing from one bird to the next, and we don't hear what these birds have to say. So,
yeah.
Well done.
Good
cool.
for you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call very, very much. And Jim Packard has joined us again. And Jim, our goal
chorus of voices from listeners has been very, very positive today. We had a goal to start with for the entire program of $3,500. And I think that we're pretty well on the way to meeting that goal, are we not, Larry?
Yeah, we certainly are. And for this half hour, we had a $1,000 goal, and we're sitting at $770 to go to reach that $1,000. But as far as making our overall goal, we're golden. We're in very good shape.
So that means that Scoop Nanette's painting and wallpapering will contribute an extra $500 for us making our goal. And so we want to thank them, and we want to thank the listeners who've come together and, as one voice, have pledged to 800-383-9772, or they've gone online at WPR.org and made their pledges. We don't want to stop right here, though. We want to continue to go, because as soon as we reach the goal of the drive, $275,000, the drive will stop. And so we just happened to whack a little bit off of the end of the drive, and we still have a chance to do so right now. So why not make your pledge right now? Decide that you would like to get the WPR member benefit card, 2-for-1 benefits throughout the state at 259 locations. There are 2-for-1 benefits at 49 performances and attractions, and online savings at 18 various sites. So that's what is in store for you when you pledge $120 at 800-383-9772.
And I tell you what, we've had some wonderful contributors. John in Webster called in, and he just came into some money, and he says, I feel I should share it, and plus Larry shamed me into it. So, and Heather in Milwaukee, thanks for the wonderful programs and for your hard work. It's much appreciated. Scott in DeForest called in with a contribution, simply enjoys commercial-free radio. And James in Madison, I think the most excellent program is on Wisconsin Public Radio. He particularly likes Science Fridays as well, but is contributing during our program. So that's wonderful. Marion and Bill in Wausau, they enjoy both networks. So they're calling in with a contribution. So we're lucky enough to get them over on our side. So
exactly.
That's pretty nice, too. What about you now? If you haven't contributed, our goal for the half hour was $1,000. We've got $230 raised toward that particular goal. And let's make that $1,000 goal for this half hour. We can do it with your help at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Your dollars go to support programming you listen to every day. You pay for things you value. Why not help us out right now? And Don Kreutzma is a wonderful guest, a guy that knows so much about birds and bird songs. I know you've enjoyed listening to Don today, and I'm sure we're going to have him back at another time. I love having him on the show, and it's so much fun to have the CD out and be able to play some of the songs and listen to those songs as well. It's kind of one of the things we try to do during this 11 to 12:30 time slot is to appeal to the outdoors and to nature. Every Wednesday, we try and do something along those lines. And Friday kind of is like that, too, normally, because we'll do a garden talk show, which is obviously relating to the outdoors. And whenever we can, we sneak in another show in between, like this Thursday show when we've got Don Kreutzma on. So Jim and I both enjoy talking about the outdoors and hearing about it. If it's a program that you enjoy, support it now at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Help us get to that $1,000 for this half-hour time slot.
I know some people have asked how to spell Don's last name, and it's Kroodsma. When you're looking for the book, and now that it's out in paperback, still have the CD along with it. It's a great book, and you'll have hours and hours of endless fun listening to these bird calls and matching them with what's going on in your neighborhood, and you'll have a greater understanding of ornithology itself. And we want to make sure that you get counted as we look for people to join the Wisconsin Public Radio Association and become members like Larry and me. It's easy to do. You just give us a phone call or you pledge at WPR.org, very safe, secure online, or pledge at 800-383-9772. When you do, you're helping to pay for the various radio stations that we have around the state. There are 15 of them as you drive around so that you can be plugged in all the time. You're paying for the 800 phone service. You're paying for the news bureaus around the state and our dues to NPR and PRI and things like that. So these are major expenses that we're paying for here. It's not Larry's retirement party or anything like that, a few years away perhaps. But you are paying for the programming that you enjoy. So if you're a regular listener and enjoy it, help to pay for it and support the service at 800-383-9772.
$770 to go to reach that goal. William and Marjorie in Shawano listened to me for many a year now and enjoy the program. So, hey, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Marjorie and Shawano, for calling in with your contribution. It's always great where we have an opportunity to hear to read some of the comments from people as they call in at that 1-800 1-800-383-9772. And if you got a little message or a little statement that you want to have passed on, why, I hope you'll go ahead and do that, because it's kind of fun to be able to read it, and also makes you feel good to be able to read such so many nice things that come from our listeners. But I tell you what, we have got this $1,000 goal, this $1,000 nut to reach for this half hour, and we've got about 5 minutes to do it, and I know we can do it. It's just part of reaching the overall goal of $275,000. You know, we've knocked about 50 grand off that total, and we will go till Wednesday, but we're hoping that we can reach the goal much before Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could do it today, we'd all be happy, wouldn't we, Jim?
We would certainly be happy, Larry.
I'd be really happy.
Although, I there's such great food that is provided that maybe they could still bring the food next week. But I'd be happy to see the drive-in, because then we know that it's a success. The year ends on a successful note. Everybody's happy around here, including the bookkeepers. But our challenge today was to meet this goal overall of $3,500, and we're down to the last few $100. So it's just a couple of phone calls. Why not decide to make your phone call right now? You may be thinking, I've never pledged to anything before. What's it like? Well, the call is short. It'll be 3 minutes or less. You answer just some basic questions like your name and address, and we ask you how much you'd like to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. You decide if you'd like to pay by credit card or if you'd like to have some other option. If you're not sure how much to donate, every dollar counts. We won't tell you exactly what you should be doing. You should feel comfortable with your pledge at 800-383-9772. And Larry, have we met the goal?
We're there, Jim. We're there. But I tell you what, I really want to say a special thanks to Skupnowitz Paint and Wallpaper of Madison, who've pitched in $500 if we make, you know, for making that goal by 12:30. It's a wonderful thing that they are doing, because they enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio. The folks at Skupnowitz like Wisconsin Public Radio. They listen. They listen to this program. They listen to many other programs. And they're helping us out. And while we've met some of our goals, we have yet to meet our overall goal of $275,000. And certainly we have yet to meet our goal of $1,000 for this half hour. And I certainly don't want to let that one go away. So,
What do we have to get there?
Well, we need $700. We still have to have $700.
So six $120 pledges to get the member benefit card would do it. Six is all we need, and we've got 3 minutes to do it. We know that there are people at the phones who will take your call. So why not decide right at this minute? I won't wait another moment, Larry. Yes, you have me. I will get the member benefit card by pledging $120 or $10 a month at 800-383-9772 or pledging online at WPR.org.
And I want to put out a special challenge to those of you who have never contributed before to call. We've had several. We've had 14 new contributors out of a total of 21.
That's very good.
So two out of every three people who've called in with a contribution have never contributed before, or haven't contributed for a long time. So tell you what, thanks to everybody who's contributed. If you've never contributed, you know, any amount helps us get that to that goal. $120 will send you the member benefit card, but I tell you what, it could be $500, it could be $60, it's about $5 a month, it could be any amount, frankly, is going to be really appreciated. And we're going to have to go away, and a big special thanks again to Don Kruitsma, who did such a wonderful job, as he always does. We'll have him back on another one of our 90-minute shows where it's just me and John and you listening in. And in the meantime, you can help us out. 1-800-383-9772. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. 500 bucks to go. 1-800-383-9772. Call in right now with your contribution or go online to WPR.org. With your help, we're going to make this goal. Be the next person to call in right now at 1-800-383-9772. There's still a minute to go to reach the goal of $1,000. We're going to do it with your help. 1-800-383-9772. Thanks again to Don Kruitsma. Thanks to everybody for listening. And if you haven't contributed, you still have time. Still a minute to go. Thanks for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.